Bob Harris Country on Radio 2, and our session tonight comes from the Courtyard Hounds, a new band formed by sisters Emily Robertson and Marty Maguire, better known, of course, as two-thirds of the Dixie Chicks. Last time we spoke to Emily and Marty was in 2006 when they were over here in the UK promoting the Dixie Chicks' Taking the Long Way album, which was their comeback album at the time following a really turbulent time for the band. You might remember that the Dixie Chicks were pretty much ostracised by country radio following lead singer Natalie Maine's anti-war comments at their London concert in 2003. What followed was a really difficult period, which was reflected in their massive hit record, Not Ready to Make Nice. Well, Emily and Marty have recently got together with a different bunch of musicians for their new project, Courtyard Hounds. And a couple of weeks ago, we squeezed them all into our studio for this wonderful session, which starts with their performance of their current single, This Is the Coast.
I'm gonna head down to the coast where nothing ever seems to matter.
That's The Coast. That's a Simon Mayo, Bob Harris favourite. And Courtyard Hounds are in the studio with us. Emily Robertson and Marty Maguire are here. Even before we go any further, just introduce us to the musicians that are with you in the studio today, Emily.
Okay, over here on guitar is the famous Audley Freed.
Audley and I
all
met.
All around England and elsewhere.
Absolutely. Well, Audley and I first met when Audley was in the band Cry of Love.
Yeah. Next up is Martin Strayer, who is on guitar, and he co-wrote a lot of these songs with me. And back here is Mr. Fred Eltringham, who's been with us for a while. He and Audley have been with us for a while. He's from Nashville, Tennessee.
Good to see you all. Because the last time we met was at Maid of Vale Studios with the Dixie Chicks, and it was sort of just post the Not Ready to Make Nice moment where, as a group, you'd been under such an incredible amount of pressure at that time, hadn't you? So that's where we, as it were, pick up the story. And here you are now with Natalie having taken a break. The break that she's taken and the sort of hiatus with Dixie Chicks, is that anything to do with the pressure you were under at that time?
Yeah, I would say it's directly related to that. You know, I think we all needed a break. We went to the Grammys in 07, and it was like the highest of highs after some of the lowest of lows. You know, I think we were just exhausted, really, yeah. To be honest. And we all needed a clear-cut break from being a Dixie Chick. And for the first year, I think we were all happy with that. And going into the second year of the hiatus, I think Marty and I started getting a little antsy. And, you know, we're kind of cut from the cloth that you play every day, and that's how you find your inspiration. And Natalie just wasn't inspired to go back in the studio yet. So this is kind of a byproduct of all that.
Yeah. And then you started heading into personal thunderstorms.
Yes. Turmoil. Turmoil.
Marriage works great when you're on the road and not with each other.
It's difficult, though, isn't it? You know, the parallel thing of a private life and a family life and the life of rock and roll. It's difficult to marry the two, isn't it?
It was an element, but in my case, I don't think it was the cause necessarily. But the turmoil and the time off gave me a lot of time to think, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, adversity also, I mean, in a way, it's good for songwriting, isn't it? I'm trying to think of the exact phrase. There's a plaque, isn't there? Is it the backstage at the Ryman? And I can't remember it absolutely word for word, but it's, you meet a person, you fall in love. You fall out of love and you break up. Either way, you've got a song.
Exactly. But I think happy people aren't quite as prolific as unhappy people are, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because we met up with Charlie in Nashville in September. Uh-huh. And, of course, the Beautiful Day album, in a way, is his take on what happened between the two of you. And this album is kind of your take on that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think we both took some liberties, you know, to make a song a good song, you know, and that's just part of songwriting. So he played it for me when he wrote his, and I was like, what? And I'm sure he's doing the same thing right now. So it's all fair in love and war, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you were the main writer of the songs on the album, Emily, but I was interested when you played your showcase, when you were saying that you brought a couple of the songs in, but then you, Marty, were listening to the lyrics saying, no, hang on a second, you know, let's beef these up a little bit. So these were collaborative efforts then.
No, I was more of an editor.
Marty was a great editor.
I pulled her back in line when she went astray. But no, she came, her and Martin had been writing for a long time. So I didn't know what they were up to all this time. And Emily started sending me songs and I was just amazed at how great these songs were, and I really couldn't picture anybody else singing them. They were personal to Emily. I hadn't heard her voice before. I've been in a band or in a family with Emily my whole life, in a band with Emily since she was 10 and I was 12, and I really had never heard my sister's voice like that. So it was very emotional for me. I cried a lot. Oh.
Because sibling matches, you know, you think of the Louvin brothers or the Everly brothers and sibling voice matches.
Our parts were always separated by a lead vocal. I'd never heard us in a tight harmony before.
Yeah.
And I think as harmony singers, we had grown up, you know, singing harmony, and we blended. We learned to blend. And I think that was just kind of how we operated, and we didn't really go far beyond that.
So then when it came to looking about how you're going to build this album around yourselves, because what was the original intention, perhaps even only to offer some of these songs to other artists?
Yeah, I was writing for writing's sake. I was wanting to just kind of fill my time and have something to show for it creatively, since we weren't working as the Chicks. And yeah, at one point I thought, I'll just pitch these songs to other artists. I even had one I thought would be right for Alison Krauss, and I asked Marty if she thought it would be a good song for her. And then I would get these frantic emails in the middle of the night from Marty that said, don't you dare pitch this song or I'll kill you. And so it was more of a threat than anything else.
I mean, how many instruments do you play altogether between the two of you?
On the record, I just played fiddle and mandolin and viola.
Yeah.
And I played banjo and dobro.
Yes.
A little bit of guitar. But really, you know, we went for a band sound. We wanted to sound like a band from the get-go, instead of a studio recording that is layered one thing on top of the other. And so we love it when people give ideas, because, you know, all the great ideas don't happen just with the two of us. It happens in a group situation. And so Audley had a lot to do with that, you know, and Martin had a lot to do with that. And, you know, it's just throwing ideas out there and working through things. And we were lucky enough to have hashed out some of the stuff in the demo process, but we did want it to sound, I don't know, like you're listening to a band in the other room.
Yeah. So then in terms of playing the material live, because you did showcases around South by Southwest, and you have been doing smaller venues with this project. How has that felt by comparison with the sort of massive venues you were doing before with the Dixie Chicks?
It was so long ago, I don't remember.
No, it's a little nerve-wracking having people right at your kneecaps.
Yeah.
And at South by Southwest, this girl is kind of drunk, and she had this beer that I knew she was going to spill on my fiddle. So the whole time I'm thinking, just give me a few inches, you know. They're just right there. And I really miss that intimacy with the audience. I think when you play larger venues, you can't even see their faces. You know, the lights are so bright and they're so far removed from you. So we haven't played that many gigs yet as the Courtyard Hounds, but the smaller venues I've missed along
the way. Yeah, yeah. Well, you're in the smallest of small venues in our studio today, and we'd love to hear another song. What's the next one going to be?
It's one of the first ones I sent Marty. This is the one she said she'd kill me if I pitched it. It's called April's Love.
Okay.
All the years I've gone through my life, taking the fall just to make it all right. A time and place never could erase the day we met. You can't make me stay, I wouldn't anyway, 'cause it don't feel right. When it's said and done, you can't hold on to the if it don't feel right. Yeah, I'm okay, but I'm not the same. Yeah, and I take it in stride. There's no way to lose with pictures to prove the lies we made. You didn't take a stand, you didn't hold my hand, you should have held on tight. When it's said and done, she's gonna run through the dead of night. If it don't
Courtyard Hounds are with us here in the studio. Can I just pick off a couple of names from those of the backing musicians on the album?
Yeah.
In particular, Lloyd Maines, because it seems to me that almost everything that he touches, there's some kind of magic to it. And I've never met him, and I just was interested on your take in terms of what he brings into the studio.
Well, he's always been such a musical father figure to us. I mean, we knew Lloyd way back before we even knew Natalie. And so he's just one of our big cheerleaders, and it's just nice to have him in there as moral support, if nothing else. Obviously, he's an amazing musician, and, you know, he's the best steel guitar player we know. So
yes.
when you have steel guitar that needs doing, you can call Lloyd Maines.
Yeah, because Greg Lace is on the album as well with you.
He is, yes. And he's wonderful as well. And we happened to be in L.A. when we were doing that session, and so we called in Greg. And
Jacob Dylan, had you known Jacob prior to the recording of this album?
We did not. Marty and I did not. Audley's played with Jacob and Fred. That's right. Mm. That's right. I think we stole his whole band.
Has country radio now forgiven the Dixie Chicks?
We don't know. I don't know. People ask that question, and I haven't talked to anybody about it yet, so I don't know.
Because, I mean, you know, I'm just sort of flicking back for a moment, but the reaction to everything at the time was just so extreme, wasn't it? It went just so far over the top. And I remember, am I right in saying that the Dixie Chicks, you were number one at the top of the charts when at the time of the Hammersmith Odeon gig, and
yes.
Then 3 days later, the single was not in the charts anymore. I think, wasn't it the only single in history to drop from number one completely out of the chart?
And the song was Travelin' Soldier, which was kind
right.
of ironic.
Yes. Because country radio just flicked a switch, didn't it?
Yeah.
And just stopped playing you.
Yeah.
Not every station.
Well, about
the mass. Most of the stations.
Marty's always trying to look at the sliver.
I think one station was still
of light.
And, of course, you're going to all be playing again together, the Dixie Chicks, in the fairly near future. You're working with the Eagles. When is that going to happen?
We have 8 dates with the Eagles in June.
Right.
In the States, yeah.
Will that mark a sort of resumption of play, as it were?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a little reuniting after 4 years. We did, you know, a few shows here and there in the hiatus, but that's kind of our official getting back together. And we've actually had a hard time making an hour set list, which is a great problem to have. You know, we're just so excited to be playing those songs again, and it was hard to make a list of our top favorites.
In terms of what to leave out.
Yeah. Or what you think the audience wants to hear. And, you know, it's a great problem to have.
Yes.
And we kind of feel like people keep saying, you know, you're doing this project, you know, is this the end of the Dixie Chicks? But we feel like we've come to a place where that is so sacred to us, and it's something that we can do forever when we want to do it and when we're inspired to do it. It's just always there to do. And it's fun at this point. It's not kind of the old days of hitting the road really hard and feeling the pressure of having to reach a certain place. I feel like we're kind of there where we want to be in our minds, and we're getting to pick the hits, you know.
Well, that's something that's coming across. I mean, it came across when I saw you at the showcase, how clearly very much you're enjoying this. And
really
it, you're doing it because it's something you really want to do.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not in this to top ourselves. It's impossible to do that. We just want to play, you know,
exactly.
And I think people can understand that.
So what about split loyalties here then, Emily, in terms of the, you know, future songs? Are these going to be courtyard?
I'll make a lot more money if I write a chick song. Let's just say that.
No. Don't be giving those away.
I don't know. We'll have to scrap over them. We'll have to fight them.
But for the Courtyard Hands, does this all represent a beginning? I mean, would you like to see a situation where maybe this works in parallel with what you're
maybe
doing?
Maybe one day we could open for the Dixie Chicks.
We do see it as, like, why can't we do both? You know, a lot of people do projects that fulfill different parts of, you know, what they like to do. And to me, this just is, I see it going on forever, just like I see the Chicks going on forever. It's just a matter of when we do it.
Yeah. Well, this has been fantastic. I've enjoyed it so much. And I'd like to conclude with a track from the CD itself. So what would you like me to play?
Oh, wow.
I think something upbeat would be good, wouldn't it?
That Ain't No Sun.
Yeah.
So that'd be perfect.
Okay.
Just talk us into the song. Just set it up for us. Introduce it.
Ain't No Sun kind of was a happy accident. I had this lick hanging around, and a line that said, "Ain't no sin to me, ain't no sin to me, 8 pound baby boy bounce on my knee." And I didn't know what that meant yet. A lot of times I think of the words before I know what they mean. And then I saw this documentary on these gay boys who were getting kicked out of their homes when their parents found out. And I was just, it boggled my mind that for me as a mother to think that one day you just could disown your child for any reason. So we kind of put two and two together, and Marty was a big advocate for this song as well. So we put it on the album. It was fun.
And here it comes. Yeah. It's been great, all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Said you ain't no son to me, you ain't no son to me. 8 pound baby boy, I bounce on my knee. No, you ain't no son of mine, you ain't no son of mine. Oh, forget it, girls, you ain't no use in trying. Don't expect to get my love for free. And don't blame. This ain't no fun for me. This ain't no fun for me.
fantastic song, really strong song. Ain't No Sun, Courtyard Hounds from the album Courtyard Hounds, and some pretty good guitar playing on that as well from Audley Freed.